My goodness. Thank you, Jesus. All right, ready for our youngins. We're going to go to Friends Church. Ready? Break. Show us how to walk. Show us how to walk. Walk. They're gone. They're out of here. I say walk, and just to share something, I saw my daughter right here, my Annabeth. Y'all go on, walk up, go on now. She came in here earlier walking with her buddies, and she was the only one I didn't see Caroline doing this, I didn't see my other daughter doing this, but Anna was walking like this. Anna had a strut. She was kind of, I was like, wait a minute, girl, what are you doing? what in the world? I said, golly, I'm so glad that y'all are here. And I'm so proud just in a good way of what God's doing in our church. The word does say if you're going to boast, don't let nobody boast in your strength. Don't boast in your wisdom. But let him who boasts boast in the Lord. And I'll tell you, it's like God's doing some awesome things. I feel like it just makes me proud. You know, it just makes me happy. And so... It's in that line I'm sharing this sermon. I have notes, and I gave you all notes. If I stick with those notes today, it's going to be a miracle. Because I feel like I just can't stay in one place. So if the message is coherent, that's all of God. If it's incoherent, remember what Shauna said. All right? Because she hit it on the head, and that song followed it up so great. The name of the sermon is, You Must Be Born Again. You know, and that's not a catchy slogan that churches put out. That's not the voting block called the born-again believers or that demographic. Those are the words of Jesus Christ speaking to us from thousands of years ago, a reality that is still as true today as it ever was. You must be born again. And what we're going to do in today's sermon, if we get there, is to show how religion fails to get us to that point. Sticking to the things we know, how we dress, what we look like, what we give, what we learn, what we do, all about us, that religious stuff, it fails to get us to the place of being born again. We're going to see a religious expert in John chapter 3 who's baffled by the idea of being born again. He can't comprehend it because it's beyond his control. It's not what he can do. It's not what he can understand. It's not even what he can see. And we're going to see how Jesus explains, really, this process of God. And I hope by the end of the sermon that God moves. I'm going to stand up here, and I'm going to do my dance, and we're going to laugh a little bit. You'll be laughing at me probably, and I'll be shaking and jiving and moving and just, you know, saying the word of God. But I'm going to tell you what we're hoping and praying is that God himself will do something in that time. And that at the end, there may be even someone in here who says, I need to be born again. I need to come to faith in Christ. That's my hope. That's my prayer. Because, you know, Christ Community Church, you know, we're building a building and we've got involved in all this stuff and God's moving and it's so cool. But unless God builds it, unless God moves, unless people are born again by the power of God, who cares what we're doing? It'll be here today, gone tomorrow. But oh, what an opportunity we have. So if you will, if you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 3. I'm going to read the first 12 verses of John chapter 3. And then we're just going to go back and we're going to talk about them as well as I can. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it comes from and where it goes. And so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus said to him, are you really a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak and we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our testimony or our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Father, I just pray right now that through your word, through the instruction, through the confrontation between Jesus, the living God, and this religious ruler, that you would bring to our minds and heart that faith. Right at the last verse, Jesus said, how will you believe? Father, give us that faith. Give us that heart to believe your word. Give us that heart to believe that we might be born again. And Lord, we give you all the praise, and we love you, and we're so grateful to be here. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Whew. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship. That's what religious people can never catch. That's what Nicodemus couldn't grab a hold of. That's what religious people in our day can't get a grip on. It's about a relationship with the living God through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's about literally becoming part of His family. It's not about being on the outside and doing something and paying this and doing that and ultimately becoming good enough to win God's approval and win one of the slots that He's got up there in heaven and that you can get in there and be one of the proud, polished people and brag on it and get up there and, whoo, look what I did. I followed all the rules. I dotted all the I's. I crossed all the T's. Oh, it's never been about that. You go back in the earliest parts of the Scripture. You go back in Genesis. The Lord wanted to be in the midst of His people. You go into Exodus. He says, I brought you out on the wings of eagles that I might be with you, that you might be a special treasure to me above all the earth. When He had them to build the temple, it was a city of His choosing where everyone could go and be with Him and He could be with them. If you fast forward to heaven, what is heaven all about? It's not about your wildest desires. It's not about 70 virgins. It's not about all this stuff that people make it about. It says, then God will dwell in the midst of His people. A relationship. That's what it's about. God wants to know you. God loves you. God wants you to know Him. The greatest adventure in your life will be getting to know God. He is beyond our comprehension. We can know Him, but we'll never fully understand Him. I'm looking out here, and there's a lot of married guides going, yeah, I know what that's like. That was a joke. You don't have to laugh at all my jokes. They're not all funny. But anyway, the point being, it's the greatest adventure for mankind is to know the God who created them. And right here, Jesus, in this phenomenal, I call it a confrontation. It's like religion versus relationship right here. Religion versus relationship. You got Nicodemus in the corner of religion. He's a ruler of the Jews. His name means he's a conqueror of the people. He is right there. He is ready to support. He's got his Pharisee outfit on. He's got his flattering tongue in his mouth. Oh, we know that you're good. We know that you're good. Now tell us the secret behind all these tricks you do. We know you're with God. We don't believe you. We're not going to come to your side. We're not going to stand with you and put our faith openly in you, but we know God's with you. Flattery. Religion flatters Jesus. Christian religion that's not born again and doesn't speak to the reality of a spiritual relationship with God will always flatter Jesus, but never love him, never embrace him, and never follow him. It just never will. It always just tip the hat. He's a good guy. You know Jesus, he's a good guy. Like he's a good old boy at your hunting club or something. Jesus, good guy. You know old Fred Bailey, he's a good guy too. You know old Randy Carver, he's a good guy too. Oh, and Jesus, he's a good guy. We're all good guys together. That's not what it's about. Jesus is the Son of God, and he comes and he explains the living relationship that God the Father wants to have with us, and religion only will flatter, will only tip the hat. Religion also just falls so short. Always trying to get you to do something. You got to do this next, and then you do it, and then you got to do this next, and then you do it, and you got to do this next. It's like this never-ending chasing your tail. We have a fellow in church who does some work for the church. He'll cut grass sometimes, or he'll do some other things, and he jokes. I hope he's joking, because I joke in my response, but it kind of brings out the mindset. He says, have I done enough good works to get to heaven yet? And then I think about it, and I realize we got to have the yard cut next week, and we got to have some other work done. I said, no, you haven't done enough yet. You're just that close. You know, I've got to keep them, got to keep them on the hook. You know, we need some more stuff done. But I hope he knows I'm joking. I think he's joking. You know, he's not here to respond to this right now. But I think he's joking when he says that. But I think there's some people out there who are really on that hook. They're on that religious hook. Can I tell you this? If God would toy with you about your soul, he's not the loving God that the Bible speaks about. If God's going to keep you on this hook just to get a little more out of you and a little more out of you and a little more out of you, that's a different God. That's a false God. That's a make-believe God. That's not the God of the Scripture. He's not just trying to get a little more out of you and a little more and a little more. He wants you to know him for real. And I remember one person in my class over in Greenwood. They said, how come preachers don't just preach the gospel? They preach all this other stuff and they try to manipulate people. How come? And I wrote, it was a question that he wrote, and I just wrote back the answer very simply. You get more money when you manipulate. That's why. You get more money when you manipulate. But that's religion, y'all. That's not what we're preaching. Because I'm going to tell you this. Someone who gets born again, not only will they glorify God throughout their life, but they're going to come to a point when they realize their whole life belongs to God anyway. Religious people are always going to go to the point where they feel like they're safe or they're saved and they don't have to do anymore. Someone who belongs to God, their hands up in surrender. They're saying, I'm all in. I'm in the family. Why wouldn't I do whatever it takes for my family? I'm in the family of God. I've been born anew. I'm no longer hell-bound and trapped to the bad habits and the bad traditions of my family. I am new. I'm born again. Oh, that is the place we want to be. Not just to manipulate a few dollars or a few extra chores out of somebody, but to say, have you given your life to God? It falls so short. Religion does. It always asks these questions. Nicodemus asked two questions. Both of them start with how. How? How is it that a man can be born again when he's old? I'm not even going to say what he suggests because it's not worth saying. And besides that, I might just scare some of you women to death with the thought of this. But anyways, you know, at 6'2", 320 pounds, I could never be born again if Nicodemus had his way. But I want you to know that how question, how can these things be? How can a man be born again when he's old? These are questions of control. I want to know the secret behind it. I want to know how you do it. I want to know how. Religion's always trying to control. It's always trying to quantify. How many people did you have? How did you do this? How much did you get? It's always quantifying. It's always wanting to control. that idea never understands that God loves you, that he wants to have a real relationship with you, and that you can love him too. It never gets it. It never gets the relationship. It's always trying to control. This is where I start meddling a little bit, because I bet you there's folks in here who struggle with that control freak issue. People talked about speed demons, and I don't talk about them because I like to speed. But I talk about control freak demons because I don't like to control things, so I like to talk about y'all. Some of y'all in here got some control freak demons. And the way Keisha is smiling, I think she's possessed by one even now. Exorcisms after the service. But I'm going to tell you something. That idea of religion always has that. Let me measure it. Let me control it. Let me understand. How does it work? What's going on? What do you mean born again? What's that an analogy of? What's that in reference to? I want to tell you what born again actually means. Are y'all ready? Born again, according to Jesus, actually means being born again. That's what it actually means. Being born from above by a power that you can't control, that belongs to God, that he gives freely because he's gracious. And there's nothing you can do about it but receive it or reject it. And that's the way it goes. You can't manipulate it. You can't throw it onto somebody else. You can't decide who it's going to work for and who it's not going to work for. It's God's power. It comes from him. It comes to us. And you receive it or reject it, and that's it. It means to be made a new person. Man, I'm about to do jumping jacks for Jesus right here, and y'all don't understand. That's because I'm a new person. That's not who I was. I didn't grow up in a religious home. As soon as I tell people I'm a pastor, they always say, "Oh, really? And so you went to church your whole life?" I'm like, "No." "Oh, really? Well, then you had somebody in your life who's just really religious and they mentored you." I'm like, "No." "Oh, really? How did you become a pastor then?" "Because Jesus found me. Somebody shared the gospel with me. His name was Gary Heim. I received the gospel and I was born again into God's family." That's how. It didn't line up the way you should think. It didn't line up the way people ordinarily think that it lines up. Am I starting to get too weird?
No.
Thank you, Miss Rosemary. Thank you. But I was different. I wasn't the same person. These weren't the things that enthralled my mind. I was born again. Part of the problem with religion, it's spiritually blind. Religion is, although it tips the hat to Jesus, it's never going to accept the truly spiritual, because again, it's out of their control. It's not something that they can put their hands on. And we just don't like that. Religion is so man-made. Jesus is going to say, "You all just receive the testimony of earthly things. You only know of earthly things. You only know of fleshly things. You only know of things you can read in your textbooks. You only know of things you can pull up on your smartphone. You only know things that Google tells you about. You only define words according to Wikipedia. That's all you know." That's what he could say to him in this time. That's all you know. You only know what one human teacher taught you about another human teacher. It's all earthbound. It's all fleshly. It's just human. It doesn't rise above the ceiling. It doesn't rise above our IQ level. As soon as something comes that's unexplainable, that's spiritual, it can freak religious folks out bad. Because it's like, how could that be? It's just a God thing. Y'all get me? It's a God thing. It's a spiritual thing. Nicodemus was spiritually blinded. He wasn't used to seeing spiritual things. He knew how things went. You wear this kind of clothes. You go to church, to the synagogue, to the temple on these days. You come before the Lord and the temple on these days. You offer a sacrifice like this for a sin like that. You do this for that and this for that. It was so just cut out. It was so patterned. It was so comfortable. It was so nice. It was so cozy. He was like sitting down. He had his shape down in that lazy boy chair religion of his. And he was like, "Oh, I'm a leader of the people. I got this all the way." And he had the remote control in his hand. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes around doing things people can't explain. And he's like, "Oh, well, according to my system, for somebody to do things like that, he must be the most blessed guy in the world. He must be tithing 90%, not 10%. He must come to synagogue twice as much as I do. He must avoid sin twice as hard as I do. I need to find out the secret behind what he's doing." And Jesus just comes saying, it's a power from above. And he goes, how? Oh, spiritually blinded. Where this relationship, and let me be clear about it, it's a spiritual relationship. It's a spiritual relationship. But I'm going to tell you something. That don't make it far out. That don't make it like something spiritual. It's up in the heavens, kind of ethereal and ghastly and ghostly way out yonder. Do you know that human beings created by their God, by our God, we are created with a body, right? We are created with a mind. And I'm going to tell you, we are created with a spirit. We are created body, soul, and spirit. We are created that way. You know what it means to be born again? It means to have the spirit within you ignited by the power of God, brought into the family of God, and you got a whole new perspective on things. That's what it means. It's not something way out there. You have a spiritual component to you. Every human being in this world has one. It's whether or not it's been quickened, livened, or not. But we have it. It's like becoming, I like that song. It's like I'm living for the very first time. It's like I'm breathing for the first time. It's like I'm experiencing life for the first time. I remember after I got saved, after I was born again, which was in the fall of 1994. And then Christmas songs started being played soon after that. And I remember the very first time I heard Christmas songs. One in particular was Hark the Herald Angels Sings. And I remember hearing Hark the Herald Angels Sings. And I remember thinking, that's about Jesus. And I know everybody around me was like, duh, you're so dumb, you know. But I was so happy. I was so happy to hear about how the Hark the Herald Angels Sings, born, you know, the newborn king. I can't even sing it because I'm excited, but y'all know the words. But I remember saying, that was about Jesus. You know, in those Christmas songs, it talks about heaven and earth being reconciled. That was about Jesus. All this stuff, and it was like my eyes were opened. You know, Jesus says that about being born again. It opens your eyes. Verse 3, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot perceive the kingdom of God. You're not going to understand the kingdom of God unless you're born again. This word, this Bible, that some people can say is just another book, other people can say it's a bunch of junk, you can do whatever you want, but when you're born again, you begin to see what this really is. It's the Word of God. From cover to cover, it's true and inspired and inspiring. And it feeds you because we weren't meant to live on bread alone, but by the Word of God. And when you're born again, you see the kingdom. I believe you're supposed to see it here. You see the kingdom of God here. You perceive the kingdom of God now. You get to see it, perceive it, understand it, read it right here through being born again into the family of God. I know everybody wants to go to heaven when they die. Because there's an afterlife, there's the kingdom of God which is above. And I believe this is what Jesus was speaking about when he said in verse 5, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Can't enter the kingdom of God without being born again. Now he said being born of the water and of the spirit. Let me tell you just first off, so we don't get scared, that's a reference to being born again. And when we put that in its context here in the Gospel of John, we understand what it means. If we go two chapters over to John 1 and verse 33, there is a prophet named John the Baptist, and he was preaching. John the Baptist, by the way, was not the first Baptist. I just need to say that. Sometimes we get a little confused and we think, well, look, Jesus was a Baptist because he got baptized at the ministry of John the Baptist, and we just need to be a little more humble than that, okay? That word meant John, the one who baptizes, and it was a cousin of Jesus, and Jesus comes to him, and this is what he says. He says some awesome things about Jesus. One of those things is, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What a blessed thing. But then he says this, there's one who's coming after me, who's really preferred before me. And he says this key phrase, I'm baptizing you with water, but the one who comes after me is going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Okay, he says, I'm going to baptize you in water. The one coming after me baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. When it comes to being born again, we see two processes at work. One is the power of God. This is what Jesus provides, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptists ought not be afraid of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's a biblical term. It's a reference to how God makes us alive again and born again and covers us, baptizes us with His Spirit. There's nothing you and I can do about that except for receive it or reject it. And the other thing, the water, that's our response. That really is. When John was baptizing, he called people to a repentance. He said, you need to honestly recognize your sin before God. You need to come and be baptized. He says, you need to come and just surrender your sin and say, I'm a sinner and I need God's help. And be baptized. And he was dunking them in the Jordan River and getting them back out, preaching to them. But here Jesus combines those things. You need to respond with real repentance. I understand I'm a sinner. There's nobody who's going to be born again who's under the illusion that they don't need a Savior. You need to be honest about your sin and who you are before you can be born again. There's nothing you can do about it. You just got to be honest about it. Just be honest. I've sinned. And can I talk to you people who've been born again? You've sinned too. There's nothing you're going to do and move on with your walk with God until you are honest about that and let God do His power of cleaning that up. If we confess our sins, He says, He, God, is faithful to forgive us, faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's an ongoing work in the born-again believer. Still being honest about our sin and still allowing God to do that work of forgiving and cleansing and working in us. But that's exactly what he says here, and it's part of what we need to understand. It's the technical part of the sermon. So I'm going to try to like land back on planet Earth for a second. To be born again, we need to respond to the power of God working in our lives, which means to be honest about our sin and to receive what He offers freely as a gift and just surrendering your life to Him. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know that You're working. I know Jesus Christ died. I know You died for my sin. I believe You're raised from the dead. That's the gospel message, the death, burial, resurrection, and the return of Christ. I believe that. Now I give my life over to You. I surrender. This is the international sign for surrender. I surrender. I heard a preacher just yesterday talking about how God only accepts unconditional surrender. God only accepts unconditional surrender. God doesn't accept the surrender with a but attached to it. I'll give my life to You, but, you know, I really like these things over here. I'll give my life to You, but, you know, don't call me in the ministry and make me speak out there in front of people. I'll give my life to You, but, you know, my money is my money. I'll give my life to You, but I have, you know, whatever your issue is. I'm going to tell you, that person there, they're still not ready to be born again. They're not getting it. They still are quantifying this as a religious activity. It's only when you really realize that God, the God who loves you, has the power to change you for His glory and your good that you'll put your hands up and surrender. I'm ready. I believe You. I know who You are. I'm ready to be a part of Your family, Your endless, forever family. I'm ready to be born again. Lord, do it. I receive it. I want it. Thank You for it. Oh, that's when it gets good. Oh, man, that's when it gets good. But don't go thinking it doesn't require somehow our response. I know there's different theologies, and I get into all these different theologies. I get into theological arguments with people who say, well, it ain't got nothing to do with man. It ain't got nothing to do with nobody, blah, 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 blah. And I get into other people who say, well, you can get born again and lost again and born again and lost again 500 million times somewhere in your life, and they argue, blah, 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 blah. Well, I'm going to tell you what he says. Is that we need to repent and be honest with our sins, and we need to receive Him. If you want to look at a cool verse with those things, God's power, the blood of Christ, and our response is tied together in one verse. It's in Revelation chapter 12. It says how we overcome the evil one who was all the way back in the garden, who thwarted the efforts of the paradise of God here on earth, who helped our ancestors fall into sin and rebellion against God. Do you know how you overcome those things? It says, by the blood of the Lamb. And the word of your testimony. didn't just say the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb's been shed for everyone on this planet. He is sufficient to save them all. But who overcomes? Who's born again? Those who have a testimony concerning the blood of the Lamb because they've received it in. That's who's born again. That's where he gets technical. That's what I need Christ Community Church to know. God's taking care of all of it. Now you just need to surrender. You need to make your decision and say, Lord, come on in. Be my God. Not just God, but my God. Not just Lord, but my Lord. Not just Savior, but my Savior. Bring him in and receive that response of being born again. And just let it totally change your family. One of the coolest phrases that I hear is about changing your family tree. Changing your family tree. I'm passionately excited that my children already aren't growing up like I did. I'm already blown away. If God were to take me now, I feel like I have multiplied the blessings to my children and how they're going to grow up and the people they're going to be exponentially. But I feel like God has a whole, as long as I'm still breathing, have a whole lot farther to go. You know, I dream one day, I don't know how, you know, y'all will get to see how my kids end up. But you know, one of those things I just envision in my mind and I think about the day when I retire and Levi takes over as pastor of Christ Community Church. You know what I'm saying? I see that one day. You know, I see my Joshua being involved in the music ministry and being up in the sound booth, and he looks better than Jamie Harrison. He could take Jamie Harrison's, you know, when Jamie's done, we can get Joshua Goldwater up there. I could see my girls, man, they are so sweet. I could see them being these sweet missionary evangelist girls. And I hope one of them marries a real rich guy and they take care of their parents. But besides that, I just see them, you know, I see them doing these things. And it just blesses me to say, you know what? I know the things. I know where I was when I was their age. I'm not naive. I know my kids see things and do things and say things that I don't want them to. But I'm also not naive about the power of God. And I know that they are getting a tremendous head start. And I am so tickled about that. And it's all because I was born again into God's family. My whole family tree is being changed and shaped by the one who is the vine dresser, by the one who is the husbandman, the one who knows how to prune and how to shape and how to do things. I know that. And that's thrilling to me. Thrilling to me. The other thing I know, when you're born again, there's an entirely new leadership in your life. There's an entirely new leadership that happens within you. And it has to be developed. Don't get me wrong. There's some people in here who may have given their life to Christ recently, and they're saying, man, I don't know where it is. I don't know how to follow the Spirit. But look, verse 8 says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. And so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. There's a time in our born-again lives when we need to go with what the Spirit tells us to go with, and we tune our ears through prayer, through Bible study, through discipline. We tune our ear into listening to what God is telling us to do, and it becomes this whole new leadership. I'm telling you, I'm still thrilled. I've been a Christian for over 20 years. It's 21, but that's still over 20. And I've been a Christian for over 20 years, and I'm still get excited. There is a page in my journal that says this: I had victory over lustful thoughts today in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how that happened? It happened because as I've grown in the Lord, I've learned that I don't have to just look and follow with my mind after everything that just attracts my flesh. I can resist that in the Lord. I can have victory in those things, and that's cool to me. That's still a really cool thing to find the leadership of God in my own life. Now I'm struggling. Y'all know I've struggled with being Big John. I'm trying to get down to just Large John and then Medium John and then somewhere between Medium and Small John. You know, that's kind of what I'm trying to do for my own health. because of the health issues that I have, and I need to be mindful of it, and I appreciate everyone's help and prayer with me on that, and we're heading in the right direction, but I believe God is going to slay that dragon one day too. You know, it used to be to where I would drink all the time. It used to be where I smoked all the time. It used to be where I swore all the time. It used to be that I was what they call a serial monogamous. I would go from one sexual relationship to another sexual relationship to another one. I didn't have all kinds of girlfriends or whatever at the same time, but I'd move from one to another to another. And I know these are topics you might not want to hear your pastor saying, but this is what you need to know. Under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, because I was born again, all those things went away, and the rest of that stuff that's killing me is going to go away too, because I know to whom I belong, and I know the Spirit I'm following leads me to life, not death, and I got all the confidence in the world in Him. That's what you need to know. That's the truth of being born again. That's the truth. There is a power, not your own, that leads you and shows you and grows you. That's what I want to know. That's what I want you to know. That's what Christ Community Church is about. You know, but we got all kinds of things going on, I know it, but this is the bedrock truth of what we're about. We can be born again through the sacrifice of Christ, receive Him, be born again, and it's all new. That's what we want to focus on. That's where we want to be at. That's what, when I get to heaven and the Lord asks me about what kind of pastor I was and how I did this and how I did that, I don't think He's going to care about my Sunday school numbers, the attendance numbers, the offering numbers, or all those things. We're going to hang out, knuckle bump, and He's going to say, yeah, I remember when so-and-so got saved. And I say, man, I remember when so-and-so, I remember when I got saved. I remember when they got saved. I remember the joy on their face. I remember the victories they had. That's where it's at. Not about did you wear the right clothes, did you come to the right place, did you give the right amount, all that junk, all that religious junk. Did you control your circumstances? And I'm going to tell you about old Nicodemus. Old Nicodemus came around. Old Nicodemus, he didn't stay a secret for long. He ended up coming out. He got born again, and he was there, and he helped them take the body of the Lord down. He was there when they were talking in the new church about how they needed to stop these Jesus people. And Nicodemus said, maybe you can't stop them. Maybe they're from God. And they said, get out of here. He was there. He was born again. It worked on, even worked on him. It even worked on, he was a religious politician. It even works on religious politicians. Hard group to win. But being a born again works on everybody. And if that's you today, y'all, we're going to do an invitation. And we're going to do it. We're going to do it eyes open. If at this point it needs to be something different, I don't know what to say. But if you feel like God's moving in you and you want to acknowledge God's moving in you, and you might say, hey, I need to be born again. Or it might be a time when you just realize, hey, I am born again, but I haven't been following the Spirit of God. I haven't been reading. I haven't been praying. I haven't been disciplining myself. If there's something you need victory in, you've been getting your behind kicked because you haven't been listening to what God is doing, I invite, this is the invitation for you. Would you all just come up here? Just come up here and say, Lord, be with me. Father, help me. And the invitation is just come up here and put your hands up. Whatever the issue is, you're surrendered. Now that's the invitation. Kim's going to come over here and play some music. And I'm going to pray for us right now. But if that's you, just come up here and say, you surrender. You surrender? Oh, praise God, Vanessa. I love you. You can have a seat. You can have a seat right here. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you for what you want to do in our lives. And Father, I pray right now that as we consider what you said if we want to see the kingdom of God, if we want to enter the kingdom of God, we must be born again. Would you help us? And for those of us who've been born again, but we've been caught up in ourselves and the trap, maybe of just being spiritually blind, maybe we got religious. Oh, Father, would you help us back out? Help us to surrender all. Not to be ashamed, but just to surrender all right now. And Father, we give you all the praise, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if that's you, we're going to sing a song. You just come on up here and let folks know. I'll pray with you if you need somebody to pray with you. But just come up and just indicate you're surrendering. You want to be born again, or you need to surrender your life again. Whatever it is, that's the invitation. Now's your time. And we're going to play that piano. We won't take forever. We don't got forever when we gather up. Y'all know that. You know people are itching to go, itching to get somewhere here, there, and yonder. But if you need to acknowledge what God's doing in your life right now, this is your time. So you take this time now.
This is not planned. But last night, it came on me very hard that we've talked a lot about building a building lately. And we've talked a lot about raising money lately. And I wanted to call John last night and I said, man, preach about Jesus. Lay it on us again. There's nothing more important. You watch the news. You see things happening. You see things going the direction that God said they would go. He is real. He is there. That's the only reason we're here. Now, I'm not going to take long, but John just preached what I was going to call him last night about, and I didn't. You tell me God's not got his hand in this message. What else do you need to hear? What else do you need to hear to understand that Jesus died for you and you need to come to him and he will give you a new life? What else can be said? What else can be sung? What else can be done? Don't be deaf. Don't be stupid. Open your eyes. Open your heart. Play that again. Come up here.
Just come in and surrender into God, the God who loves you. And it's amen. Just surrender.
I know you love me.
Golly. You never know what God's going to do. You just know He can do above and beyond anything. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love you too.
Thank you, Miss Kim.
You know, we got just a minute this week to slow down, didn't we, when the power went off and we had to slow down. But one of my devotions this week, I wasn't going to stand up here, but it's from Jesus Calling. And it's where Jesus is speaking to us. And what He told me was, sometimes we think we have to do big things for Him. But what it said in my devotion was, all Jesus asked you to do is take one step at a time. Just take one step and then take one more step. Because sometimes when you look out in front of you, there's a great big mountain or a great big ocean. But what the devotion said was, Jesus said, you know what? I might take you around that mountain, so don't worry about it. Or I might have a boat waiting to take you across that sea, so don't worry about it. Just take one step and hold my hand.
Golly. You know, part of our contingency plan has to be, what do you do when God shows up? You know, and you just let Him have you just let Him have His way. You know, you just let Him have His way. This isn't how most services end here at Christ Community Church. And it's not to say that all of them have to, but I'm telling you, when God shows up and He starts moving in people's lives, we got to know, let God have His way. Let God have His time. Let God do what He wants to do. Let God be God. And I'm going to tell you, and I just want to, just so we don't get any, you know, not everyone came up here was saying they needed to be born again. The majority of them were saying, I'm born again and I need to get right again. Okay? And you know, when God wants to do what God wants to do, let's let Him do what He wants to do. And if it's called the people who are born again back to living born again, let's let Him do it. And let's start living it and following the leadership of the Spirit. And we won't have any of the troubles like what we looked back. We'll have all new troubles. It's not that we won't have troubles, but we won't have the troubles of the past. We'll have those troubles that God says, I'm with you. We'll go right up to those gates. We don't got to be afraid of them because my church will prevail against everything that's put in front of it. And I'll tell you, I'm just so proud. I'm so glad, okay? Golly, let me just pray. And as I do, we're going to take up an offering. And if it keeps going good, we're going to take up three or four offerings. And we're going to take up an offering. So ushers, you all come down, and as I pray, Father, thank You for how You love us. Thank You for what You're doing. It's very humbling to me. But I know that You are the God who does beyond and above anything we can ask, think, or imagine. Thank You for all that was shared today, and help us, Lord, help all of us to come to that point where we're born again, where we're in the family of God, not perfect, but growing in our intimacy with Christ, not growing in a set of standards, but growing in intimacy in the relationship You offer us through being born again. And Father, with this offering, we just give You thanks, and we give You praise, and we do it all in Jesus' name. Amen.